What are your pain points? What are the problems? What are the urgent things? Well, we handle these symptoms, but then the symptoms pop up again because we're not healthy. Find out what makes your people tick and utilize their strengths so that you can spread the load, but also empower them at the same time. Am I doing everything I can to make our people better?
Hey, everybody. My name is Pat Cohan, and this is the AD Insider Thursday 30. Our guest for today's show is Jamie Beckler, college basketball coach and high school athletic director for over 20 years. Who now runs his own leadership company that works with high-level individuals and teams, helping them maximize their potential in the area of leadership, culture, and teamwork. Before we dive into these topics, we want to thank our partner in this episode, and that's Concordia University of Irvine, the number one athletic master's program in the nation, one that you can take 100% online, in person, or a unique blend of both. If you're interested in learning more, please check out cui.edu. Jamie, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Pat, I appreciate it. Great show, and I'm honored to be on.
With so many things to evaluate as an athletic director, how do you recommend, you know, where to start? You know, when you're trying to look at the whole athletic department as a whole at the end of the year.
You know, I think some of the things we get that gets lost on us as ADs, as leaders sometimes, is what's most important to us. You know, we have these checklists, we have these evaluation forms that maybe HR has us doing, or we even want to do ourselves. But we have to remember what's most important to us. Why are we doing what we're doing? What's important? What's the vision of our athletic department? And a lot of times what gets lost in this, I think, is the leadership component. I think we get too bogged down and too focused on the administration and the management, which is absolutely key. That is very important stuff. But sometimes we lose sight of the leadership part, the relationship part, the culture part. And where I'm going with that sometimes is that we wait until the very end. So it's the spring now. A lot of us are waiting till the very end to do our year-end evaluations. I had year-end evaluations as well. The problem with sometimes these year-end evaluations is that we look at it as it's just that's the only test that we have. This is where we're going to tell you how you did. And a lot of times we don't have this ongoing growth mindset throughout the year. And so, yes, right now it's the spring. We do have to do evaluation. We do have to take an audit of where our athletic department is. But we need to start looking forward to how can I coach up the people in our department? How can I make our department better on an ongoing basis, not just wait till the end of the fall season, then wait till the end of the winter, then wait till the end of the spring, so that we're evaluating and auditing at the end where it's a constant evaluation. And I think sometimes that gets lost, and especially the leadership part of it, the coaching up our coaches, leading the leaders, you know, those kinds of cliches and statements. We sometimes forget about that, and we just get bogged down into checking these boxes or rating on 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And we don't think about how can we coach up our people during the year. And so some of the ADs listening to this right now, they still have weeks left in the school year. I would encourage you, hey, you've got end of the year evaluations. You're going to take time to audit your program here in a few weeks, but start now. Start now with evaluating your coaches, or even in a better way, help coaching them up to finish the year strong and start to look forward, you know, with the coaches that aren't in season right now, look forward for them for next year.
Now, leadership was a big part of your answer there, but how do you evaluate leadership?
It's not the outcome based like a game where on the scoreboard you won or you lost, or a graduation rate, you know, especially at the college level, or a GPA at the high school level. It's not as simple as that. That's why you really have to roll up your sleeves sometimes, get into it, and really get to know your coaches, get to know their programs, get to know the process, that journey of what they're going through, what they're trying to accomplish with their kids. It could be, hey, I'm looking at Pat. In last year, Pat had 3 technical fouls. If you want to go with some kind of a measurable, maybe Pat had 3 technical fouls, or Pat had 3 yellow cards last year. Well, he only had 2 this year, or only 1 this year, or the whole team had so many technical fouls this year, they had less. And there's certain states, certain even school districts have sportsmanship type measurements that you could use as well. But kind of looking at behavior, kind of looking at, hey, what was the culture of that locker room? And once again, it's tough to measure that, But what was the culture of that locker room? What was the culture of the parents? Did you have a lot of complaints that year? You know, and a lot of times it doesn't mean that if you get three complaints, that's a better program than if you get eight complaints. It's not always as simple as that, but that would be a good starting point. How many complaints are we getting? You know, how many fires are you having to put out as an AD? And if this program or this program or this program is having less fires that you have to put out, then maybe that leadership, maybe that culture is a little bit better there. And you can kind of look at that, but that's at least a starting point.
Now, you went very people focused as like the first thing in this evaluation process. Outside of the people side of it, where are the other places within, you know, a year round or year end evaluation checklist that you would maybe start asking questions of an athletic department that you're brought in to consult or audit?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think you want to ask right away is, what do you want your athletic department to be about? And most of the time, you know, we'll say something, but it may not align. Our words might not align with our actions. You know, we say, hey, we want our kids to be good kids, to learn, grow, and develop. Athletics is a tool for life. We want our coaches to be respectable and to really teach great values. But then we spend, you know, the majority of our time on the X's and O's of administrating or managing. And you absolutely have to do those things. Absolutely. Because if you're incompetent in those, then the people part of it won't work. The people won't be trusting you. You won't be a respected AD if you're not competent. So you do have to put some systems and processes in place. You do have to make sure your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed. So get a good checklist. And there's a lot out there. I know your state will have it. NFHS has great checklists, all that kind of stuff. Get a good checklist of what you need to be doing. Work with your assistant, work with your secretary or your admin to get a good checklist for what you need to do. But as I go in and talk with an AD, so Pat, you're the AD, I'm going to go in and talk with you. First of all, I'm going to ask, what do you want your program to be about? And then from there, how can I help you to get to that point? Maybe you have an idea in mind of how I can help you. Maybe you're like, man, I just don't know. You know, that's why I called you. You're the expert. And then I'm going to go through a couple other questions of, okay, well, have you had some issues with parents? Have you had issues with coaches? Have you had issues with students? Because oftentimes, even if you talk about leadership, and that's where I see things a lot of times, is the leadership perspective, the people perspective, the culture perspective. That's not that's painting with a broad brush sometimes, because you could have a bad culture, but it could be because of the parents. You could have a bad culture, it might be because your student athletes are screwing up. You could think you have a bad culture because your coaches aren't doing what they're supposed to do, or man, I have to be on them as much as I'm on the students. So just because you say I have a tough culture, I have a bad culture right now, isn't the same for everybody. So I'm going to try to really drill down and figure out, what does Pat mean by I have a bad culture, or I want our culture to be better, I want our department to be better, I want it to be more respected, or hey, our sportsmanship's not very good, can you help us with the sportsmanship area? Okay, well, is it sportsmanship with the coaches, how they act? And we know sometimes coaches act like 12-year-olds on the sidelines. Is it with the players? Are they out of control? Is it with the parents? Are they out of control? Or, hey, maybe your principal or superintendent, you know, acts more like a cheerleader, acts more like a fan than an administrator at the game. So what's that sportsmanship aspect there? You know, so when they say something, asking a few other questions to get some clarification on that. But essentially, how can I help you? And a lot of times you kind of are like, I don't really know, but I know I need help. So we're going to try to dive deeper and figure out where exactly I can help you out. And most of the time it comes down to, hey, how can we get our athletes to grow and develop and to be great members of our community? Because one day, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now, they're going to be the husbands, the fathers, the wives, the mothers, the business leaders, the educators, the leaders in your community. And what we're doing now is going to help your community be better later on. And so oftentimes ADs want that. They just don't know how to articulate it, or they don't have enough time to do that themselves, or they don't have the expertise to do that. So we'll try to figure out what exactly your pain points are and what exactly you're wanting to accomplish with your athletic department. But it starts with that why. And I know that sounds so cliche. Now, if you say, hey, we've got to get more organized, we got to get more efficient, okay, then we're going to go with that. You know, do you have good time management skills? Do you have the right standard operating procedures in place? You know, do you have the right personnel in place? Do you, you know, are your chains of communication in the, you know, are they on point? And so we're going to look at some of the systems and processes if that's a problem, you know. So as you know, some ADs sometimes they struggle with that stuff, the time management. They struggle with, hey, you got two buses crossing in the night, you know, going to the different schools, or you don't have referees get there, or, you know, people lose faith in you as an AD because you seem to be incompetent. Well, we'll help you out with that as well.
And when you go through, you know, kind of what you've already covered, what are we missing? Again, trying to fill out this checklist, you know, you went people first. Where's the leadership? Where's the culture at? Let's evaluate that. How do we identify what needs to change? Then you kind of went into more of like, okay, systems and processes, are things flowing through efficiently? Are we wasting time, right? Are we auditing our time and making sure it goes in the right place? So that kind of still people oriented, but it got to more of time-based things. You know, where, again, as you're asking, say I'm the AD about my program where you can provide the most value and improvement. I think the story goes when you took over the high school that you went into, they had $1 million in debt. Like that was the big problem you were sent in to solve in trying to figure out the financial situation. You know, what's the next question that you would ask an AD?
What are your pain points? What are the problems? What are the urgent things that are pressing right now? Because, you know, if you're on a boat that's taking on water, you got to get that water out first before you can even really worry about going forward. You know, oftentimes, you know, if you're drowning, a terrible analogy, but if you're drowning in a lake, your first thought isn't, hey, I got to get to shore. It's just, how can I keep my head above water? So the very first thing is we got to take this urgent stuff and figure out how can we put a Band-Aid on it? How can we tread water just for a moment? So that now we can maybe collect our thoughts, calm down a little bit. So now we can look for that shore and start swimming to thrive as opposed to just survive. So you mentioned when I went into an athletic department, you know, they had an overall cultural issue. You know, they had financial issues, they had academic issues, they had behavioral issues. The teams weren't winning as much. You know, there wasn't much leadership. There was no student athlete leadership group, all kinds of things there. And so there were so many issues, so many little fires. And so I had to prioritize. And so that's what an AD will have to do. If an AD calls me, we're going to prioritize because you can't do everything at once, even though we'd like to. You know, you can't do everything at once, but you can do something. So what is it that you're going to do? What are you going to prioritize? And so it might be, hey, there's five things we got to change. We're going to work on all five of those things, but it might not be all five things equally. It might be, you know, I'm going to devote 20% of my time here, 20% here, 50% over here, but you kind of prioritize what you have to do. But one of the biggest things, and I still struggle with this today, but I struggled with this as an AD, is I have all these things I want to do. Well, you can't do everything at once, but you can do something and you can start now on something. You know, it doesn't have to be where you get to the finish line. So let's say an AD says, I want to do a student athlete leadership group. And there's a lot of high schools out there that are not doing anything with their students. Student athlete leadership group. I want it to be big. I want it to be this great thing where, you know, everybody's taking ownership in the leadership. Okay, but it's not going to get there yet. Start with your 5 or 10 kids that you trust. Build from there. Well, I want to meet every week. Okay, maybe you can't do that right away. Maybe it's going to be once a month. You know, start small, but don't let perfection be the enemy of good. You know, do what you can right now and stop worrying about what the perfection is or where the end, you know, you want to begin with the end in mind, but not so you can be perfect right away, but just so you know where you're going and then work backwards and try to figure that out. And a lot of times, you know, as ADs, we just get so bogged down with everything. We're just treading water. We're playing whack-a-mole. Things come up and we're just handling the urgent and we're never really planning and we're never really seeing this vision out there. And so nothing really ever gets better at our school. We just do the same things year after year after year.
Yeah, I want to stay on that because I feel like that's pretty consistent. We've covered it multiple times on this podcast is like, okay, so you have a lot going on and you never feel like you have the time to do some big deep thinking or some real strategy to maybe You know, instead of just getting rid of the symptom, you're actually trying to get healthy, right? Like, there's really never that time to do that. I mean, is one solution just drop all the immediate and be like, all right, let's just clear the slate. All of this is going to fail, but now we're going to just kind of rebuild the foundation. Like, I mean, how do you actually put the Band-Aids on?
Those Band-Aids are important. You know, they're urgent. We need to handle that stuff. We need to be handling some of these fires. And when I say we, all right, I don't necessarily mean me all the time as the AD. Now, some ADs don't have an assistant, or you don't have a full-time secretary, but you're going to have some people around you that maybe you can share the load, share that work. You can maybe delegate, or they'll volunteer, or it's within their passion. You know, so take the student athlete leadership thing. Okay, as an AD, you might like leadership. You might want this to happen, but man, I just have too much on my plate. I can't do that. I guarantee you there is a coach on your staff. Maybe it's an assistant, but there's somebody on your coaching staff that has a passion for leadership and will take this on. You just have to identify that person and ask them. And then maybe provide a few resources, or maybe some guardrails, or hey, you know, I'm going to carve out this amount of time, or whatever it is. But get some people involved. Don't try to do it all yourself. And I've had this problem my whole career, whether it was a college coach or a high school AD, I've tried to do it all myself. Even as a business owner, I try to do it all myself, as opposed to, hey, I can get a virtual assistant, or I can bring on extra staff or whatever. We don't have to do it all ourselves. That's one of the very first things. Well, the first thing is understanding that all that urgent stuff, you got to do that. So you can't just blow it up. You can't just say, well, I'm not going to do that because I got to do this other stuff over here. Everything matters, but you don't have to do everything. That would be the second thing. You don't have to do everything. And then the third piece of that is now intentionally carve out some time where you can start planning, because we rarely, we're like on this treadmill where no matter how fast we go, we never get anywhere. And that's a lot of ADs out there. We're going fast, 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 and we never seem to get anywhere. We have to intentionally slow down, get off that treadmill once in a while. You know, the rat race, take 30 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be where you go on this week-long retreat, you know, and commune with nature, nothing like that. I mean, if you want to do that, that's great. Take 15 minutes a day, 20, 30 minutes a day, where, all right, today I'm going to plan for next month. Well, tomorrow I'm going to plan for the month after that, or I'm going to plan for what we're going to do in the spring. I'm going to plan for what we're going to do with this coaching staff, for finding somebody to lead our student athlete group, to find someone to lead our operations or our event management, whatever it is that's important to you. Take 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, carve that out, and just be intentional about that. Clear your schedule, or in fact, put that on your schedule so no calls get made. Your secretary knows that, or everybody else knows that. Just be intentional about that. But most of us don't do that. And that little time is then going to save us so much time later on. But what it does is it starts to get us thriving rather than just surviving. It starts us getting swimming to the shore rather than just trying to keep our head above water. And I know most ADs, when they hear something like that, will think, I can't afford to do that. We got too much to do. You're always going to fill your time with something, and there's always going to be more that you can do. Your job as an AD never, ever, ever ends until you leave that job. All right. So you're just going to have to tell your time. You're going to have to budget your time. Tell your time. Tell your, you know, when you put a budget together, you're just telling your money where it's going to go. When you put a time budget together, you're just budgeting your time, telling your time what you're going to do with it. You're going to spend 30 minutes on something else anyways. And, you know, the excuse that I got too much to do, you're always going to have that. The question is, do you want to get ahead? Do you want to have a vision and go toward that? Or do you just want to keep spinning your wheels? But you had a great point there, or I love what you said about the sickness, the health thing. So many of us deal with the whack-a-mole. We deal with just symptoms. You know, when we get sick, a lot of us, when we're sick in real life, we're not as concerned about, all right, I need to eat better. I need to get more sleep. I need to start living healthy. Most of us are more concerned about, my sore throat's got to go away. My stuffy nose has got to go away. My headache's got to go away. What's a pill I can take? Hey, I need this Kleenex. Hey, I need to do this. I need this medicine. I need this super secret concoction of a drink that'll make me, you know, well again. But we don't think about being healthy in general. And that's how our athletic department is. That's how our culture is sometimes, is we don't think about having a healthy culture. We just put out these fires all the time, whack-a-mole. We handle these symptoms, but then the symptoms pop up again because we're not healthy. And so they're bound to pop up again. So for instance, Pat, if I'm dealing with you as a parent, you come to me and I'm banging my head against the wall because, oh, Pat, the parent is terrible. I might handle you. I might work with you. I might solve your problem. But then another parent's going to pop up because what I probably addressed with you, we probably didn't make any other parent better while I was making your situation better. I just isolated you. Well, now another parent pops up, another parent pop up with maybe the same situation. But if you are focused on your culture, your department, your program being healthy, now all of a sudden you're going to have less parent issues. You're going to have less student athletes getting in trouble or whatever it is. How you do anything is how you do everything. And so if your overall program is we're going to try to be healthy and do things right in all these different areas, as opposed to just react, I think you're going to end up long-term having a better program and actually having, you know, less times where you're banging your head against a wall.
I agree 100%. I heard this quote the other day, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that one struck home with me. Like, how many things am I not actually preventing and just waiting until they flare up? And then I'll just dive in and give 100% at fixing it because I know I can fix it. But you're almost like trying to park in the parking spot that's illegal until you get a parking ticket and then you got to pay it off. Like, it's just this weird thing that we do. I want to kind of go off our script on in terms of our outline and ask, you know, what have you learned about being around elite people that might help other people actually do what's on their list? Like, everybody can make a list. Everybody's, I need to do this. And ADs say this all the time. Every time I interview them, like, yeah, I can make a to-do list, but it ain't going to happen. Like, I'm going to get called at 9 to go get buses over here, or this coach needs this, or player did that. And I just get thrown off the list. So, like, lists are great, but the reality is they ain't going to happen. Being around elite people that actually get things done, how do they approach lists?
A lot of times they're hyper-focused on what it is that they need to do right then. I know that kind of sounds like that's obvious, but even reading, and I don't agree with everything in this book, but the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss, maybe a decade so ago, maybe 20 years ago, I forget when it was written, a while ago. There's a lot of good things in there. There's a lot of things that maybe I disagree with. But one thing he would talk about is, you know, if you only had 1 hour to work today, what would you do? What would you decide to do? And he talked about like a post-it note. You know, what would fit on a post-it note? Is that what you have to do today? It's kind of transferring your to-do list onto a post-it note, but essentially being very hyper-focused on absolutely what matters right now. Now, it's hard as an AD because you do get those interruptions. And if little Johnny comes in to talk to you, you don't want to turn him away because you absolutely have to get the TPS report done right then and there. You know, you don't have, I can't talk to you right now, Johnny. You know, you don't want to turn people away, but the elite people that I've talked to on my podcast or whatever, they're very hyper-focused and they prioritize what needs to be done now. I think Lou Holtz was the first person, former Notre Dame coach. The first time I had heard the acronym of WIN, what's important now. So many things are important. You know, as an AD, you know this. There's so many things that are important in a day, and we got to juggle so many balls. But right at this moment, what's important right now? When? What's important now? And I think sometimes we get distracted by things. And I, you know, just yesterday I talked to a bunch of student athletes. Every time I talk to student athletes, I share this quote: distractions are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And maybe this is too cliche or maybe too simplistic, but we do get distracted way too much as an AD. and we're not focused on what we need to be focused on right now. Now, that doesn't mean, though, hey, I'm going to be focused on this for 8 hours today. No, you might need to put some limits on it, because you, just like in a practice, if the kids aren't getting it, maybe you don't spend the whole time on that thing. You know, if the practice plan says move on after 10 minutes, let's move on. And maybe we come back to it later. Maybe we take a step back, take a break, refresh. Hyper-focus doesn't mean we're going to spend all day on one topic. It may, but what it might mean is just, you know what? I'm going to take 30 minutes and I'm going to dive deep. I'm going to take the phone off the hook or tell the secretary I don't need to be disturbed, or I'm going to go into a different office, you know, get away or whatever. Or it might just be, you know, on the way home, I'm going to take, you know, while I'm driving, I'm going to take these 15, 20, 30 minutes to think about this topic. I'm going to turn off my podcast. I'm going to turn off the radio, and I'm going to think about this thing on the way home. So whatever it is, it's very hyper-focused. That's the number one thing I thought of when you asked about elite performers, is they're hyper-focused on what they need to do right now, which is hard for ADs because there's so many balls to juggle.
And that's what I'm thinking, going back to our like season or self analysis or evaluation, you know, going through the things that you want to get better at or improve, you know, building out your own plan. That plan takes a long time. You know what I mean? And it's almost like golf, right? So 18 holes, you're going to take 90 strokes, and you can think about the perfect swing and you get a really good golf shot, but like to link all those up, a bunch of good golf shots together to finish a hole and then do it 18 times is really hard. I mean, I think that's why golf is, you know, such a popular sport, because it's just the mental side of it to keep doing well over a long period of time. I get that feeling with building out a plan for the next year. It's a long golf match. There's a lot of holes to put together to have a good score at the end. And at the end of the day, you might be just scratch golfer. You might be a scratch athletic department. But you're just trying to beat yourself almost, because there's really no measurement of an AD. Like, your teams win and lose, and maybe there's like a state like Lone Star Cup like they have in Texas or, you know, whatever thing. But you're really just trying to beat your own score, if you will. However you judge yourself.
You're pretty much right on that. And it's hard to quantify or measure, you know, hey, I've got 20 head coaches and 17 of them like me, or 17 of them think that I'm doing a good job. It's hard to really measure that. You've got to be self-aware as an AD as well. You know, I like sitting down at the end of the year, or, you know, evaluating throughout the year, actually, you know, but one of the main questions I like to ask myself is, you know, hey, all the complaints that I had, let's say from coaches, all the complaints or all the frustrations that I had with coaches this year, could I have done something to nip that in the bud ahead of time? Could I have done something better to handle that? Could I have been more proactive in that? And a lot of times where the self-awareness comes into is, a lot of times I'll say, yeah, Pat's just an idiot as a coach. You know, I won't say that publicly, but man, Pat's like a 12-year-old, you know, but did I do everything, as long as he was the coach, did I do everything to communicate properly with him? Most of the time, the answer is no. Most of the time, I treated Pat like, well, I told you you should have known better, or we hired you to do a job, do your job, or I gave you a job description, you know what you had to do. What happens a lot of times as an AD is, I don't set you up for success. I just kind of, you know, I've got too many other coaches, I can't be worried about you. But then when we honestly assess how I handled your issues during the year, I probably can't honestly look myself in the mirror and say, I did everything I could have done. I might've done a lot of things, but did I do everything that I could have done? And a lot of times we maybe didn't communicate clearly enough with you. You know, it was clear with me, it wasn't clear with you. Or I told you, you know, and it's similar to what we do with our players as coaches. You know, they'll run these sprints at the end of practice. We'll bring them together in a huddle, and then we'll give them three announcements, you know, but they're dead tired, or maybe they hate us because we were just yelling at them before the sprints. You know, they're leaning over, hands on their knees. And then we wonder why they didn't turn in the paperwork the next day or do what they were supposed to do that night. Well, they don't remember because they were dead tired, and we told them at a terrible time. We didn't set them up for success. And a lot of times as ADs, we're not making our coaches better. We're not making situations better. We're just surviving. And so we don't have time to help Pat be a better coach, especially if Pat's not very coachable, if he's got some baggage or you know what, he kind of is a lone ranger, or, you know, he just doesn't listen very well, or he's the old coach, you know, that crosses his arms in every staff meeting and, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I tend to reflect that energy. You know, if that coach doesn't have good energy or is not coachable, then I tend not to put much energy into that or invest in him. And so what happens self-evaluation wise, am I doing everything I can to make our people better? Because at the end of the day, I know I've talked about people a few times here. At the end of the day, the people are going to help us do our job. We're going to help people do their job. And together we're partnering, you know, with all the stakeholders in a school, you know, that's parents, coaches, administrators, custodians, all these people, they all have a part in our program moving forward. And at the end of the day, we need people and the people need us. And it's a partnership.
I think every AD will agree people, you know, make everything work, but where do people fail in getting people to move for them?
Number one thing is we make it all about us. So if I want Pat to move forward, I look at it as, all right, I'm telling Pat to do something because I'm smarter than him or I'm in charge. And at the best case scenario, most of the time we'll say, hey, I'm just trying to get Pat to buy in. I don't think buy-in is a terrible thing. I say it all the time as well, but I like looking at it more from an ownership standpoint as opposed to buying in. Buying in still is a push-pull type thing. It's still, I'm trying to convince you. I'm trying to persuade you of something. But if we have ownership, if you take ownership in something, you're sharing in that. You're invested in this process as well. And a lot of times the leaders, as an AD, at any kind of leader, whether it's a coach with the players, AD with their coaches, a lot of times at best, we're trying to get buy-in. At worst, we're just trying to get a compliant follower. Just do what I tell you to do. And I think that if you just think about your marriage, if you think about your principal or your superintendent, you know, when people tell you to do something and they don't really care what you think about it, or you don't feel like there's really that ownership there in that decision, you know, you might buy in, quote unquote, but really, are you going to do the stuff when the principal's not there, when the wife's gone or the husband's gone, when your boss is gone? Are you really going to do all that you can? You're not. Because you're not taking ownership in that. So that's the number one thing to me, is that as a leader, as an AD, a lot of times we come at it from a top down. I'm in charge. I'm at the top of this totem pole. I want you to do a certain thing because I think it's better. And so anytime you come up with this plan or an event, you know, hey, we're going to do this next year. Okay. We're going to do student athlete leadership, or we're going to do professional development for you as a staff. That might be a great idea, but you still have to get some alignment with your coaching staff. You got to get some ownership. They got to take that on. They've got to share that responsibility of, hey, this is a great thing. Yes, you want buy-in, and buy-in's better than nothing. But you want some people to be on board in terms of, hey, not only is this a great idea, what if we also did this? And they take some ownership in that idea. So I would, you know, get almost like a group of coaches in certain areas that you talk to and say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about this, or what do you think? You know, I know this year you talked about how parents were an issue, or you talked about, you know, you had issues with captains this year. What if we did something where we met with captains or we met with student leaders? You know, what would you think about that? Do you think that would be helpful? Or what if we brought in a guest speaker? Or what if we did X, Y, or Z? It could be anything for any issue. But go to a coach that you know, that you kind of trust, but maybe had some issues, and ask them, hey, would this be a solution to that? Or what would you think would be a good solution? Bring them into that situation and invite their feedback. You know, they might not be as smart as you, but they're still pretty smart, or they might see a different point of view or a different perspective, give you feedback that you hadn't thought of, but get some ownership. And then when you institute or execute a plan, you know what, you're already going to have a built-in coalition, so to speak. You're going to have 3, 4, 5 coaches that are already shaking their head. Yes. You know, hey, I'm on board with this, whatever that is. And it's not just they're being persuaded, but they're taking ownership. They're sharing in this idea as well.
I think without me asking a question, you really nailed a lot of our topics. So I took a lot of notes here as we were going, and I just want to recap for those watching and listening. You know, going back to the checklist idea, what I heard from you was really you got to evaluate, you know, yourself first, right? You know, what were the problems that hit your desk throughout the year, and then how you could have personally nipped them in the butt earlier? What could we have done systematically to make it so those type of situations don't come to my desk? Then two, looking at a season or a coach, like what issues came from those specific teams, right? How did that compare to previous years? Was it parent, athlete, or staff related issues? So you can pinpoint, you know, and I think all of these are Band-Aids, right? All these are like, here's, you know, let's evaluate the Band-Aids that were used and let's see how we could maybe build something, you know, a system to help get us healthy, essentially. You know, and then when it comes to the school year or the whole athletic department, painting that vision and then walking, you know, reverse engineering it of like, how do we not just get there overnight? We take a step towards it and then building a plan for that. So once you have your plan, you really dove into time management and making sure you're hyper-focused on that plan to execute the tasks in there. That was kind of like almost building the plan, setting aside the time to execute the plan. And when we get to like actually maximizing the impact and building alignment, you talked about getting other people on the bus, right? You talked about that. One thing that I'd like to know your thoughts on is, do you make it, I mean, earlier you talked about like not about you, making it about them, but do you almost make it a political move in the sense of identifying everybody's agendas and trying to find a way to put their agenda on the train tracks to get to where you want to go? You know, so there's that one person that really wants to build their personal, you know, following maybe. And you take that energy and you put them, and they're doing a lot of very public things. You know, they're out there doing the talks with the parents. They're out there doing the things that get a lot of visibility. And then you have the coach that wants nothing else. So you put them in charge of how do we reduce the things we're asking our staff to do? What systems can we put in place to make things more efficient? So you're kind of satisfying their needs or their wants. And at the end of the day, you're getting closer to your goal of this bigger vision. Does that make sense? I know it's kind of a weird and maybe like slippery way to do it, but I've met some leaders that are just, they're really good at identifying what that person really, what's motivating them. And they figure out a way to like, okay, line it up. And then at the end of the day, everybody's really engaged in this other goal. And it's just kind of a ninja, like kind of Jedi mind trick that they play.
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on, Pat. I think you have to identify the strengths and the passions that your team members have. So even if you're a coach, you know, you might have three captains. Identify where maybe some of the other players, they could show some leadership skills, empower them to do some things in smaller ways that maybe fit their passion. Same way with coaches. Identify those coaches that can do certain things that are in their skill set, in their strengths, in their passions. And every coach on your staff, even the grumpy ones, there's something that they can probably add and help you out with. You just might have to be a little bit more creative or ninja, as you say, to kind of massage their ego or to you might have to think about it. That's where that 15, 20 minutes on one day comes in is, hey, I got to figure out how I'm going to reach Pat. I got to figure out how to use this skill and get him to be less grumpy about this topic. Maybe it's, hey, I was wondering, I know that you were talking about, you know, this parent issue. Would you be, or let's say, let's go with a non-people issue. I know you've been talking about, you just don't have the resources. You know, the school wants you to win, but you don't have the resources. You don't have the budget. You don't have the equipment you need. Hey, I was thinking, what would you think if we got together like you and like two other coaches and maybe an equipment person, maybe an administrator or whatever, we just kind of go out to lunch and we talk about some solutions to this. I know that that might sound silly, but a lunch might be just what that grumpy coach needs. And maybe, you know, you got to wade through a whole bunch of complaints that they'll have, but they might actually give you one or two good ideas that you hadn't thought about. That might be somewhere to start, is just that. But putting people in charge of certain things, empowering them to lead certain things. I mentioned earlier, the student athlete leadership group. You'll always have a coach that's passionate about that. You might have a coach that's passionate about marketing. You might have a coach that's passionate about social media. Well, use them. Use those people and their skills. But you got to get to know your people as well. Find out what makes your people tick, your coaches tick, and utilize their strengths so that you can spread the load, but also empower them at the same time. Help them, get them to help you plan staff meetings so they're not as boring. Or maybe you're going to have luncheons, whatever it is. I think you're spot on with utilizing your coaches as much as possible. But asking them, hey, you know, I'm trying to handle this. We're trying to get a handle on this parent issue. We're trying to get a handle on our budget. You know, you mentioned earlier, I came into a situation where we had a stack of bills and no money to pay for it. You know, a lot of people have that as ADs. Well, how can we be frugal? How can we be fiscally responsible, but come up with budgets for each team? You know, in our situation, we had a lot of money in the past. And so coaches would just come in, ask the AD for something. The AD would say, yeah, because we had all this extra money. Well, eventually that ran out. Well, they didn't have any budget. So there wasn't, you know, baseball gets so many baseballs a year, or we didn't have uniform rotation stuff. Those kinds of things. Hey, maybe there's two or three people that love that administrative type stuff or really good with numbers. Let's come up with some budgets that make sense, but have 2, 3, 4 year type budgets plans, because leaders are dealers in hope. And a lot of times you have coaches complaining about stuff because there's no hope, you know, or you institute this thing. Hey, we're going to cut you off. We're not going to give you money anymore. Or they see that you take resources away. Well, if you can give them hope that, yeah, it's going to be tough this year or this semester or this month, but it's going to get better. And here's why it's going to get better. So if you can provide that vision to them, but you're going to have coaches in on your staff that can do a lot of different things, utilize them. Going back to, don't do everything yourself.
You have alignment. You have people that are all, yes, we want to tackle it. You know, you have your end of the year meeting with your coaching staff and your administrative staff. This is a great plan. We're going to improve our facilities. We're going to put more work into X, Y, and Z. We're going to work on our parent issues or our sportsmanship issues. Like, yes, these are all the things we've been dying to get taken care of. What would you recommend is a way to make sure that the little steps along the way to make those things happen, what would be the best structure? Is it like, hey, I'm going to meet with somebody that's, you know, maybe the leader of this problem that we're trying to solve or improve every week, month, bi-monthly? What have you learned from being around big programs and teams when they have, you know, maybe four key initiatives? How are they attacking those, and what frequency are they putting actual, like, meeting time? If you're not actually doing it, right? You're the AD, you've delegated, and now you need to manage. What have you seen?
Well, the start of the season or the start of the school year or the start of this project, whatever that is, that's where your energy is going to be the highest. Your enthusiasm is going to be the highest. And so take advantage of that. So you might have more meetings to start with. And with the meetings, make sure it's not one of those things that could have been an email, and you probably should have coffee or snacks, something. But it could be just, you know, some sodas or whatever, but make it where it's meaningful, but take advantage of their enthusiasm, at least early on. But meaningful is a big one. Make sure that there's a point to it. Now, you might not even be in the meeting. You might not be leading it, but if Pat, you're kind of the committee chair, or you're the leading person of this like subgroup with four or five other coaches or staff members or whatever, you kind of understand what we're trying to accomplish, what that vision is. And so you're going to make sure you go into the meeting and making sure that it's meaningful to everybody. So I wouldn't say that, all right, you're going to meet once a week, you're going to meet once a month. bi-weekly, any of that stuff, because I think at the start, you're probably going to meet a little bit more because that's where your enthusiasm is highest. So take advantage of that. But each kind of group or each kind of project is going to be a little bit different. But talk to those people too. Get feedback. I can't stress enough. You need to ask questions of your team members all the time. You need to take the temperature of the room. You need to gauge where they're think, what they're thinking, what you know, what going in, what's going on inside their head. And we don't do that a lot because we got to the position we are because we're probably pretty smart, or we probably do a pretty good job at what we do. But we need to find out other points of view, other perspectives. We don't know it all. And so we need to ask a lot of questions. You know, if Pat, you're leading our group, I need to ask you a bunch of questions about, hey, how often do you think we should meet? What do you think this, where should we meet? What should be our goals for each meeting? Hey, will you put together kind of, I have this long-term plan, but can you put together maybe how that would look each month? How would we get there? You know, maybe the reverse engineer, we're working backwards. Could you guys put together this? You know, ask different questions, but I think the question thing is really important. And even, you know, going back to evaluations, you know, I'm big on having multiple evaluations or regular meetings with coaches or your team members so that it's not, you're just not piling everything on at the end. But even in an evaluation meeting, I'm huge into asking them questions about different things. It could be, you know, what's one or two things I could do to make your job easier? Not how can you make my job easier as an AD? You know, how can I make your job easier? How can I help you do your job better? What's one thing that you wish I would have done this year or that you got frustrated about with me? You know, sometimes we don't want to ask that because we don't want to hear the answer. Let them talk sometimes. Ask these kinds of questions. You know, how can I maximize your development as a coach? You know, and then that plays into kind of what you talked about of utilizing their strengths, their passions. Maybe there's a coach that thinks that they're not being utilized. You know, I'm just coaching, but I want to be an AD one day, or I want to get into administration. And, you know, there's never really a time to that I feel empowered to do that. Toss them a bone a little bit, but you got to find that stuff out. But ask them lots of questions. And then also, like, if you're asking them questions about, hey, you know what, looking back on the year, what was one or two things that you think you probably could have done a little bit different or that you could improve upon? And they might tell you some of the very same things that you were going to tell them, but now they've spoken it out there. So now they've owned that answer as opposed to just being, oh, that's just Jamie's. Jamie told me I need to work on these two things. Or Jamie said I didn't do a very good job handling this situation. But maybe they'll tell you those very same things. They're probably not going to tell you anything stupid. You know, they're probably not going to say, yeah, well, I really didn't, you know, I handled everything pretty well. You know, they'll probably think of something, and you can give them these questions ahead of time if you want, but lots of questions.
Jamie, I think that was a phenomenal recap and kind of closure on our whole conversations, the way you went through kind of back to the checklist and then building alignment with your people, getting them ownership, getting them involved, asking them the questions, and setting, you know, the kind of the stage for our ADs to go into next year, or kind of plan out their next year and kind of put together their own plan for the plan to make sure they're most successful. So I thank you for your time and really appreciate what you shared with us today.
I appreciate it, Pat, and I appreciate everybody watching and listening to this. Thank you for all that you do.